Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Imagine a future where living to 150 or even 200 years old isn't science fiction, but science fact. What if aging wasn't an accepted decline, but a condition we could actually cure? Today, we're diving into the extraordinary world of longevity, where cutting-edge breakthroughs in AI, gene editing, and organ regeneration are reshaping how we think about time, health, and the limits of human potential. Our guest today is Sergey Young, a visionary leader in the field of longevity and author of the best-selling book, The Science of Technology of Growing Young. He doesn't just dream of a future where we extend the sands of time, he's actually building it. From practical steps you can take now to live vibrantly to 100, to the near and far horizons of technology to help us thrive for centuries. If you're ready to defy the clock and unlock the secrets of a healthier, longer life, stay tuned. The future of longevity starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a visionary longevity expert on a mission to extend healthy lifespans for at least 1 billion people. With over 20 years of investment expertise, he's the co-founder of the Bold Longevity Growth Fund and founder of the Longevity Vision Fund, both focused on pioneering technologies that tackle aging. He's also the author of the best-selling book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young. This Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller has been translated into multiple languages worldwide. In addition, he serves as an innovative board member at XPRIZE and is a board member of the American Federation for Aging Research. His work is dedicated to giving people access to longevity and making a healthier, longer life attainable for everyone. Welcome to the show, Sergey Young.
Hi, David. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Oh, it's so great to have you join us. First, share with the listeners, what inspired you to write The Science of Technology and Growing Young?
Well, this is a very interesting topic, David. And I think from your other guest, we all arrived to the same conclusion. It does require huge health shock for us to kind of start developing an interest in the field of health, longevity, and think about healthcare, taking care of ourselves. So for me, back in 2018, I discovered that I have particularly high cholesterol level. I mean, this is not dramatic health shock, but I just realized I need to do something to take care of my health and, you know, expand my health span and lifespan. And so I simply discovered this whole thing that I need to manage. And because I'm an investor with more than 20 years of experience, I thought I will just create my own fund, which would support, you know, different technologies and scientific developments in this field. And I got so excited that I decided to share stories of some of our portfolio companies in the form of book. Because we in the fund, we look at 200 companies a year to invest at 4 to 5 of them. But the amount of data, information, conversations with the best scientists in the field, the best entrepreneurs in the field is enormous. So I thought I literally need to share my excitement with all the people on the planet.
Yeah, fantastic. I know longevity is such a hot topic right now. We've got stem cells making new waves, exciting new technology there, and artificial intelligence, pharmaceuticals like rapamycin. We've had several guests talk about that, bringing hope for those who want to live beyond 100. What are you most excited about for the current and future protocols for extending people's lives?
That's a great question. And actually, major part of the book is dedicated to what I call the near horizon of longevity innovations. This is something which is in the making today and will be available to many of us in 5 to 10 years from now. And when people ask me, what are the 3 most exciting things science-wise and technology-wise in that field, I would always talk about 1, gene editing and gene therapy, 2, organ regeneration, and 3, longevity in the field. And these are very exciting topics. And there's so many exciting, great developments happening in the companies that are working on this field. I think like in 5-10 years from now, we will have an opportunity to amend our DNA to live longer. We already know all 3,000 genes in our DNA that are responsible for living longer. So that's 1. 2, similar to the like extending the life of the old cars, we will be able to extend our life just by replacing organs inside our bodies. And two most difficult organs to replace are our brain and our heart. No surprises here. So we do invest in the companies that are working in the field of 3D bioprinting. So you can literally use 3D printers to print replaceable organs. Or we invested in the other company called Lygenesis. They're based in Pittsburgh. And they actually use our lymph nodes to regrow liver inside our body. And they're already working in trial this year with at least 4 patients. So that's happening in humans. And then finally, this third piece called longevity and appeal. You're right about rapamycin. Some people talk about metformin. Some people actually think that Ozempic and GLP-1 inhibitors are first longevity drugs. I don't know what will win in this journey to develop the first anti-aging and longevity drug, but I do know it can easily be the old drug repurposed like rapamycin or metformin, or it can be a new drug developed with the help of artificial intelligence. Because some of the companies that we invested in, they actually compress the years of drug development cycle into the months.
Wow. This is like science fiction. I'm looking at my Hewlett Packard printer and go, wow, one day that could be printing out my extra liver I shouldn't eat or a kidney. That's amazing.
The acid test for my book was always like, I would always write about things that I saw with my eyes or which is done today in the scientific labs, in the best academical institutions in the world and in the US, or this is currently in the making by entrepreneurs in some of the biotech startups. So that's actually the most exciting part about the book. Nothing there is dedicated to science fiction. This is happening today.
Yeah, it's fascinating. What about, I've got a lot of guests on here talking about telomeres and the focus on lifespan. What's your view on that?
Oof, I need to be a little bit philosophical here, but I think the key to understanding the aging processes and how do we fight age-related diseases, the human biology of our body and our brain is such a complex thing. So we will not face a time anywhere in the nearest future where we'll find the single answer to how do we fight age-related diseases or how we expand and extend our lifespan and health span. As you know, back in 2013, there was a famous academic paper published called Hallmarks of Aging. It was actually revisited pretty recently, I think a year and a half ago. We already know at least 9 different hallmarks of aging. Telomeres are not the only one. There's so many things that are happening aging-wise inside our bodies on the genetic level or on epigenetic level, on the way our cells work or get rid of the cell waste, you know, inside our bodies. And, you know, I can go on and on. So I think we are in an exciting moment when we do know that it's a very complex problem, and we still don't know what are the major hypotheses around what are like number one hallmark of aging. But I think what is exciting, we appreciate the complexity of human biology, and we know if you try to influence the complex of these hallmarks of aging, all of us will be younger and healthier and happier humans. But just continuing on this topic, I think what is most exciting about us living today in the world, that finally, through the whole history of humanity, we have something which can crack the code, which can handle the complexity of human biology. And I'm talking about computing power, and I'm talking about artificial intelligence. Human brain was never designed to solve the complexity of human biology, but combination of human intelligence and artificial intelligence actually give us a lot of hopes in terms of our ability to manage our biology and extending our lifespan.
Yeah, I'm curious, what do you feel are the major agers? What makes somebody who's 40 years old look like he's 60 while other 40-year-olds look like they're 30? Does genetics have a role or is lifestyle and diet more to blame?
I love this question, actually. We should start with genetic setup. Depending on the study that you look at, our DNA and our genetics responsible for 25 to 40% of our longevity. So important part of our life and our ability to live longer are Are we lucky in genetic lottery or not? Having said that, the development of gene editing and gene therapy, and 40% of our investment portfolio is in the field of gene editing and gene therapy these days. Very soon, our ability to be genetically prepared or being lucky in terms of our genetic setup for longevity will not depend from mother nature of or from this genetic lottery. We already know these 3,000 genes that are responsible for longevity. So we'll have an opportunity to redesign and refine them and therefore be genetically prepared to live longer. So that's a kind of 30% of it. Well, the rest is about many factors, but you're right pointing out to the diet and, you know, many other lifestyle interventions. Remember, in the beginning of our discussion, we talk about the near horizon of longevity innovations, which is 5-10 years from now. But when people ask me, like, what we can do today, majority of the factors that are under our influence are in the field of diet, exercise, sleep, you know, different diagnostic tools that you can use to prevent these deadly diseases, age-related diseases. So while people think, okay, well, Sergey, diet or exercise, I mean, it's not a big deal. I was just looking at the study done by a very good friend, Dr. Kara Fitzgerald. She wrote a book called Younger You. And think about this. In the course of 8 weeks, she managed to make the group of males 3.2 years younger in biological years terms, and group of females 4.6 years younger. Again, 8 weeks. By changing, what are the major factors? By changing diet, exercise, and their approach to sleep. Just in 8 weeks, all of us can be 3 to 5 years younger. Think about what you can do in the long term if you are very serious about your lifestyle changes and want to create a healthier and a happier version of yourself.
Wow, interesting. I'm curious, how does stress affect how quickly we get wrinkles and gray hairs and get closer to 6 feet under?
I think we need to realize that in today's world, aging is inevitable. If you're lucky, aging processes will start in your body like when you turn 45 or 50 or even 55, or they can start a little bit earlier around 35 or 40. The average, I think, in today's world, it's anywhere between when you turn 40 to 45, this is where aging processes start. So in the end of the day, it's predetermined. And this is what we're trying to fight. That's on one side. Well, on the other side, you can do a lot with this. In addition to lifestyle changes that we discussed, I am a big fan of medical screening. And I actually, when I have 30 seconds to talk about longevity, and people would always ask me like, Sergey, what do I do? What is one thing that I should do to expand my health span and lifespan? I'm always talking about medical screening. The most important day of our life these days is not our birthday anymore. It's a day of our medical screening. Because at the moment, all the medical devices that are like full body MRI that you do with the MRI machine is powered by AI. And artificial intelligence going through your scans can detect early stage cancer in 99% of cases. It's not only human radiologists, it's AI as radiologists and working in partnership with human intelligence can prevent so many diseases and early death, etc. Early stage cancer, survival rates, depending on the cancer type, but usually in the range from 90 to 100%, and the quality of your life, you have a good chance the quality of your life will be the same. But if you discover cancer at late stage, like stage 4, like for colon cancer, survival rates are anywhere between 8 to 25%. That's a big deal. And we need to appreciate the beauty and the current development of different screening machines. And we should overinvest our time and our money, hopefully supported by insurance, by doing this annual medical screening and significantly improving and increasing our survival chances.
Yeah, you make a good point because so many people wait till the lights blinking on their car, or the smoke's come out of the engine before they bring the car into the mechanic.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned the car metaphor here. Look, we're living in a world where we spend on our cars more than we spend on our health and therefore our lifespan.
Wow. Yeah. That makes sense. I'm curious, what does a society where people routinely live to 150 plus years look like? Will people be going back to college to get a second career at 65 instead of retiring?
Very interesting question. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to the extent that my next book that I'm writing, which is going to be published 2026, I think, is about future of humans. And therefore, all the technologies that we discussed today and scientific breakthroughs, how they will impact and therefore result on completely different version of us humans and society. So exciting topic. What do I know about the future? Just through my lenses of longevity investor. Number one, we will move away from the binary social constructs that are now is used to organize our life. So if you think about our life today, like first 20, 25 years, you're like in study mode, right? You're growing up. You're basically kid. Then you have like a working life, again, binary, when you work from when you turn 22 or 25 till the age of 60 or plus or minus, and that's kind of your working life, another binary, very distinctive part of your life. And then you have like retirement, whatever it means in today's world. So what I do know that the work of the future is not going to be like this kind of one or zero, this binary constructs. You either like work full time or you full time on retirement. Same thing will happen about marriage and relationship. Whether we like it or not, we're living in a world where 2/3 of the marriages are going through divorce stage in the first 3 to 5 years after getting married. I mean, it's very sad, but if you look at the factual part of it, the quality of years that we add to our lifespan and health span will result in quality of changes. So therefore, our life in the future will be more like a series of mini lives where every 10, 15, 20 years, you can start a new relationship, you can have a new generation of kids, you can do the new education or completely change your career or your passion. That I know for sure.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you just made me think, you know, we're lucky to have our grandparents, and very few have great-grandparents. This future you're talking about is we're going to be able to play catch with our great-great-great-great-grandparents.
This is so funny. Look, I did a back on envelope calculation. How many people, if I would like to invite, you know, all my relatives when I will turn 200 for my 200th anniversary, I think the figure was more than 10,000 people.
Wow.
This is all your immediate relatives. So like with the event spaces, we would, I don't know, even rent the stadium for that.
Stadium. I was just thinking that. Have a family reunion at the Madison Square Garden.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I'm sure when you talk about living beyond 150 years old, the concern about overpopulation comes up. What's your view on this increased lifespan requiring more food, more housing, more jobs? Will that be an issue?
Look, I am very sympathetic about people who raise this concern, but the science and the facts are, well, telling us completely different story. So if you look like in any meaningful and reliable model of how the population of Earth will evolve, then we will reach a peak of around 10 billion people by 2050. And then by the end of this century, we will go back to around 6 to 7 billion. And the problem is that almost everywhere in the world, with exception of African continent, we are not nowhere near to reach the reproductive rates, which would even help us to sustain the population. So I remember the figures about China. By the end of this century, China will lose 600 million out of current 1.4 billion population. You know, US and Western Europe are exactly in the same territory. So in a way, we can even reverse the problem and saying like, unless we will improve the quality and the quantity of people that we call today old, I don't like this word, but who are relatively senior today, we will face the inverted demographic pyramid and we will not be able to support this from in terms of social structures as well. So it's almost like necessity that we need to implement and to use as a response to this demographic crisis, the silver tsunami, which is happening in today's world.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was telling a patient, you're going to be on here talking about, he's getting up there in age. And I said, you know, hey, tune in. You might be able to live to 150 or over. And he goes, oh, no way. I would never want to do that. I don't want to go past 80. Oh, I think in their brain, they're thinking they're going to be old and decrepit. And who wants to live longer than that? What you're saying is they're not living longer. They're living better, correct? So if it's 110 or 120, they're actually healthy. They may be jogging, maybe even surfing, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're not talking about just adding the years to our life. We're talking about adding quality years to our life. And I appreciate probably 2/3 of the people that I'm seeing now or I'm discussing longevity with, they voicing these concerns. And I can understand why. Because the model of aging that we have today, when in the last 3, 5, 7 years of your life, you're in a very fragile state, you require a lot of support, you're not independent. This is what people use to like project how they will look like and how they will live if they extend their lifespan beyond turning 80 or 90 years. So I'm sympathetic with it, but we're talking about a completely different level of influence on that. We talk about the world where in 10, 20 years from now, you will be able to decide what is the target biological age you want to use for yourself. Like I'm 53, and if I have a choice, I would like to live like if I'm 35 or 45 years old. And then with the age reversal interventions and protocols, we will be able to reach this target age.
Yeah. And you'd mentioned, you know, humans have the potential of to live to be 150 or 200 years. Do you think it's possible for human beings to live forever one day?
I just wanted to continue the metaphor that I just used. So I don't think we will ever reach the point of immortality. But the technical definition of how we're going to treat the opportunity and options to extend our lifespan, every 5 to 10 years, you will need to decide whether you're using the current technologies to add another 5 to 10 years to your life. So it's almost like a series of life extension decisions that each of us would need to make. And that's technically, you can be immortal by doing this, but obviously, you know, it all depends from our personal choice. That was the first thought on that. The second thought on that is, I don't think we will be able to live beyond 125 or 150 years in our current biological form. So the humans of the future who are going to live beyond this barrier are very likely to be augmented humans, which is a combination of technology and biology, or engineering and biology. That's the opportunity for us to extend our lifespan, see other planets, or spend more time on planet Earth and do some great things.
Fantastic. Such a fascinating topic. I know you got to run. In the minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share that we didn't cover today?
Yes. I think it's very exciting and it's very tempting to think about longevity as a thing of the future. But I wanted to mention to all of the audience today that I do think it's time to take back control for our health, for each of us today. Think about the world we live in. We delegated all our health choices to like big pharma, big food, regulators, healthcare providers, insurance companies as well. And I think our health and an opportunity to increase our health span and lifespan, it's almost like a work of the orchestra, and you need to be your own director of your own health. I think it's extremely important to dig into the topic and start discover this amazing, exciting, but complex world of human biology and what the science and technology of longevity can bring to us today.
Well said, well said. Thanks for joining us. The book is called The Science and Technology of Growing Young, and you can get your copy and learn more about his longevity fund at sergeyyoung.com. And while there, be sure and check out his informative articles and longevity videos. A lot of good info there. You can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and X at sergeyyoung200. For my daily health posts, follow me on X and Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard something today that someone who wants to live longer should hear, and that's everybody, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toogoodhealthradio.com, radiomd.com, and check out our podcast library and share these segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. Sharing is caring. You can also subscribe to future podcasts at iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay young.